It's time now for the Wednesday Morning Coffee Club. Welcome to the Wednesday Morning Coffee Club with Bill and Jenny Sparks, Dave and Chris Rieckert, Tim Ani, and the crew. Bill will be taking your phone calls, and you will hear lots of conversation. We will have cooking tips, demonstrations of products, and much, much more.
And you may reach us by calling 1-646-558-8656. You will need the meeting ID 848-725-450. And when you're asked for a user ID, just press pound. You may download Zoom from the Play Store or the App Store.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, Bill Sparks.
Good morning, Chris and Dave. How are you?
Well, we're doing okay. Misbehaving as always. You know how that goes.
Well, now that is great. You're going to take a little trip today after the show, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. We're going to go out for some lamb chops.
2 months out of the year, or approximately 2 months, Longhorn has lamb chops on their menu. And we hear they're really good. I don't know.
Well, I'll take your word for it.
I guess we'll find out.
Mistake, but then that's just me. But I know you're looking forward to that today. Tim, what have you got going on today?
Oh, not too much. Getting sick of the winter, but I guess I've been doing that since maybe the end of October. But it's been enjoying listening to baseball, because that's the only way I can think spring.
Well, the Twins are down here in Fort Myers, so they're not very
far. Yeah, right near you.
Right. They're not very far at all. Right there in Fort Myers, and so are the Boston Red Sox, so we're ready. I like baseball better in Florida than I do Arizona, though I'm sure the people in Arizona say they like the baseball teams there better, but I don't know that we've got a corner on the market. Would you prefer your team play in Arizona or Florida, Tim?
I think Florida is, I don't know, that's the way it's always been. We've been in, well, before Fort Myers, it was Orlando.
Oh, yeah. And, they were staying in the same hotel we were when I was down in Social Security training class.
Ah, yes.
I met a lot of the times.
Tinker Field.
And that's the owner. What was his name? Cal something Griffith? Let's see.
Owen Griffith, yeah.
Yeah. I met him. Met him in the lobby several times, actually.
But, oh, wow.
Yeah, back in those days, it was a little easier. You know, maybe they didn't have all the budget they got now. The hotel was okay, but you wouldn't think a major league team would stay there. But they did, right, with our Social Security training class.
Yeah, by the way, I was going to mention real quick, the Twins, I guess it was kind of an experiment or whatever. They had a woman play-by-play announcer, and I thought she did a very good job. I can't think of her last name right offhand, but she did a really good job on it.
Well, we got that going in New York, Jeff.
You got Sue Waldman working with John Sterling on the Yankees, so maybe they'll keep her on permanently, Tim.
She doesn't want to do it permanently, I guess. But it sounds like she might just do fill-ins once in a while and stuff like that. But I hope she does.
Well, you never know. Let's see. Michael off.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Ain't misbehaving. And if I was, I wouldn't tell you. But we're doing pretty good here. How much does it cost to attend if you want to go to one of those games in Florida?
You know, I'm not sure, but it's pretty inexpensive. It's not going to be as expensive as what you would go to a regular season game, because you can take your family there to the park, and a lot of people do that.
The last one I listened to, the Cardinals, and I think it was last year, maybe it's Mike Shannon, and he, oh no, some girl's got the umbrella. There's a lightning magnet, and just broke out in hysterical laughter. And I remember that.
By the way, our Twins opener is March 28th, and we're expecting 12 to 15 inches of snow this weekend.
Well, that game might be.
Do they broadcast the spring training games on local radio stations in your area, Bill?
No, except if a station happens to pick up, and I haven't seen one yet, that actually picks up the network feed, but they do not broadcast them, because I'm sure MLB is not going to let them do that. They just don't do that. Let's see. We got Michael to Jennifer. What's going on in your world?
Oh, things are pretty quiet. It's 53 this morning, and the weatherman says it's only going to get to 70. Like, that's terrible, but it's sunny. So,
well, actually, they call this in season here, and the people in Florida really, really are liking these few days because it usually gets pretty warm here, and they're just enjoying a few days of the
cold. Yeah, they say you start cooking by the 1st of April. So they say we got a couple more weeks of nice weather before it gets hot to stay for months.
And months and months and months and months and months. So, yeah, it is the way it is. Let's see if we've got our friend in, let's see, I might put her in the wrong city again, but I want to say Topeka.
Topeka.
Did I get it right, Julie? I finally got it right. Yeah. It just took a little bit of time. How are you this morning?
I'm okay. You know, my day didn't happen start out quite like I thought, but I'm here in Topeka, and I'll be here probably writing emails and listening to things and reading things. And
there we go. You know, Julie, that happens to me so often. If for whatever reason it happened last week, I forgot to turn the alarm on and it didn't go off, and I got up almost late to do a show, and your timing gets off, and then you get all messed up. It seems like the day just kind of goes from then on, you know what I mean? But yeah. I think that's all a state of mind.
Yep, it's okay.
But it's okay.
Yeah.
And if I'm missing anybody.
Well, we have Bill in Chicago. He's muted. I can unmute him.
Bill, you got anything to say to us?
Yeah, it's about 9 degrees here. We're supposed to be this week, all week. We're supposed to have a big rainstorm Saturday. And I'm sorry, Bill, the Cubs devoured your Cincinnati Reds the other day.
Oh.
And WGN here, it plays all the White Sox spring training games. They're carrying them already here, their spring training games. You know, the White Cubs, GN carries the White Sox now, not the Cubs anymore, because they had a dispute on salary or something, or money or something. So yeah, now the White Sox.
Worst things they ever did was get rid of the Cubs and, well, the White Sox. I
mean, yeah, but Rickett, he's in for the money. He's not in for anything else. That's the trouble with him, because, you know, he wants to start that new television cable station for him and all that kind of stuff. He's the one backing that St. Clair thing. It's all for money, and a lot of people are getting fed up with him because it used to be, he started, I think this year was the last year, the doubleheaders. You can't buy one ticket and stay for a doubleheader. You got to leave and buy another ticket. You can't. It used to be doubleheaders. You could pay for one game and then stay.
And was there a time when WGN television, when they had the Cubs, I'm not sure if they still do, if they had the Cubs, you could listen to every Cubs game or watch every Cubs game. That wasn't the game they didn't televise at one time.
Oh, yeah. They televised every game. They don't do that now.
No.
No, they don't do it anymore. But, yeah, they televised every game. I remember back in the 70s. In the 80s, when the Cubs weren't doing very good, they would set everybody in one section so the camera looked like it was a crowd. A
couple things I want to throw out here and talk a little bit about. Jenny was reading something on her Twitter yesterday, and this is how things can get started and really cause a problem. Jenny, you remember you were reading yesterday that there was a rumor going around, but they couldn't confirm it, that they were stopping production of the Orbit Braille Reader.
Yes, and the guy was tweeting saying that he'd heard it, that somebody told him that, and he couldn't really confirm it, but that he was wondering if they were stopping production.
Right. So later on, I went to the website, and they were out of stock of it and not taking orders right now. Now, I don't know if that means anything or doesn't mean anything.
And I did see something else this morning saying that they were having trouble getting with some of their agreements with one of the members of the group or something, and they were trying to work things out. So I don't know.
Well, you know, whenever you hear something like, well, they've stopped production on it for temporarily, that's never a good sign, guys. Even if they're not saying they're not going to make it anymore, it's not a good sign when they're not even taking back orders on it. So that's the only thing I would say.
Michael, did you read anything about that?
No, I hadn't seen that, but you know, as we talked about, I sold mine because I saw a defect that they made a workaround for, but I feel within a year is going to cause people problems. And I know you have an issue with battery, that you need jeweler screwdrivers to replace a battery. So my issue had to do with they had issues with oil drying up that causes the the pins to move up and down. And so as a consequence of that, so if you didn't use it for a while, you could turn it on, which is what I did, and found that a few of the, not the whole cell, but like dot six or dot three wouldn't work anymore, about six of the cells. And when I called, they said, yeah, we were aware of that. And the fix is we're going to have, the unit's going to automatically turn itself on every once in a while. But what if your battery's dead? And I thought, this is just an accident waiting to happen in a year or so. So I eliminated mine, although I thought it was a good product. I definitely liked it, but
I love it for my phone. But do you think we're not to a point yet to where we can have products this cheap? Now, I don't know anything about the Braille Me or anything like that, but do you think we're not there yet to where you can substantially have a Braille display that is $300 or $400 cheaper than every other Braille display? And I don't know.
Well, I think you can be. If the cells themselves only cost $3 a piece, then yes, you certainly can have them for less. But it's a specialty. Any new product is going to have some defects and problems when it rolls out of the gate. But I think also you have to factor that, you know, there's not enough of them being made that they can actually, you know, make a better assembly line, you know, automation, and, you know, invest in processes to, you know, increase the production of them.
And any time you try to make something lower cost, there have to be compromises somewhere to keep that cost down.
What about Baum, Mike? And I only played with one. I never bought one because they were expensive. But when they were around, now I guess they're not around anymore, and I'm not sure what's going on with them. They went through a bankruptcy. But when I played with their Braille display, when they demonstrated it at the Northeast Association for the Blind, the thing was you couldn't hear the pins move at all, period. And and I'm not sure how they did it, but that was really one of the most top-notch pieces of work that I saw. But again, the company went bankrupt because these things are very expensive. Unless you can afford to pay for them, that's an issue. But the technology is such where I remember having a Navigator. Do you remember when Telesensory made the Navigator, Mike, that Braille display? That was great, but it didn't work. They had the same problem with the pins not working after a while. It was with oiling those pins, and that's got to be the biggest flaw in these devices.
Part of it is your skin. You know, you're touching the thing all the time, and the oil from your skin gets in there, so unless you clean them all every once in a while, that's going to interfere with any of them.
Well, this is the oil. This is not finger oil. This was oils they put in it to hydraulically, you know, make them move up and down. And I don't know enough about the technology to know how conventional Braille displays do that process. But
it's one of those things. But what I'm saying is, if we talk about something on All Things Radio, and I urge everyone, and Jeff does too, that we better be pretty sure of what we're talking about before we put it out there. And got something substantial and can, you know, got something to go on. I don't.
Well, the thing with news is, I mean, you know, we could talk about something right now and 15 minutes from now, a change could transpire. But yeah, the internet has so much misinformation. It's people speculate, or it could be someone, a competitor with a hidden agenda that starts a rumor. Right. We don't know what. Right.
Yeah, just go to Facebook and you'll see a lot of fake news up there. I mean, that's a purveyor of lots of fake news.
You know, just putting out stuff that may or may not be true. So why don't we go to the source to find out if it's true, if it's not true, or get as much accurate information as you possibly can before.
Well, I do know at the beginning they said that the 20s were, you know, it was going to be a test market, and if there was success, then they would look at either making a 40 cell or doing some other things. But yeah, so we just have to research and find out what's actually happening there.
You know, what's
the problem is that particular tweet was probably sent to an individual, and it's like everything else, somebody, oh, well, here's some news, let me retweet it, and then it goes
viral, or just reposting because they've got a large following and not thinking about, well, maybe I better check this out before I post this.
Well, are you, you know, as a journalist, you can do this, whether it's responsible or not is up for debate, or you just say from the rumor mill, you know, and you just say, hey, that it's been rumored. I'm not saying it is, isn't, just if you want to go down that rabbit hole. But.
Well, like what I do on my radio. Oh, go ahead. Sorry, Bill.
It's the Bill's go. I don't use one of them, but I've read about them. And you said they have a problem with the oil and the pins, like a hydraulic. Why couldn't they make the pins work like the old Optigon years ago, but still make it in 20 cells or whatever it is? Remember the Optigons when they first came out back in, what was it, the 70s or 80s?
You know, I'm not going to answer that question because I don't.
Well, I have an Opticon, yeah, the 24x6 grid, but that was $3,000 even back in 1979. But the
right,
but that does raise a bigger question. As and my friend said this a long time ago, and I agree that what we really need is 40 cells is great, but what does a computer screen have? It has, you know, 1024x768. You know, why can't we have something that more accurately represents what's on that screen, and we actually see things in the place that they are on the screen and in the shape, where the Opticon skills then would have been useful because you could actually read the printed letters. They would be,
because we complain about the price of 40 cells. Imagine how much we complain about the price of that.
Well, oh, you couldn't. That'd be way out of your reach.
It would have to be a totally different talk about different technology.
Yeah, because
there's been some talk about full page braille displays that would use some kind of a membrane type thing that would bring it up. But you know, and someone had said that they had invented a way to do it cheaply, but who knows?
But maybe that maybe that's how BOM worked, Tim, because BOM didn't make any noise when the pins went up and down, and I don't think that was oil. I think that was a membrane type situation at that point. But getting back to your point, Mike, that would be a huge thing that would go where your computer monitor is. It would have to be vertically like your computer monitor. And I don't know if people, that would take up a lot of room in your computer desk or some or workstation area. But that would be cool. I'd like to see that, actually. I like that idea. So that when the links are on the right-hand side of the page, that you get to see where they are, actually where they are when you go to a website. I think that would be cool.
Go ahead, Jennifer.
I was going to just say, I know there was a company, and I can't remember who it was, that was trying to work with wax some way that could, that heated and cooled fast enough that they could make the dots for a display too. And I don't know whatever happened with that. But there's a lot of quiet displays. I mean, the Braille Note basically has a quiet display. You can't really hear the pins. You'd have to really listen to it. Because I can sit it right next to the microphone when I do my recording and it doesn't pick them up.
So they're out there. But I'm just saying, all these people on Twitter or Facebook try to be responsible about something you write or say or have some basis behind what you're writing.
Especially the person that retweeted that. They know better. I'm not going to call them out, but they know better than to do that without having information.
You know, people in responsible conditions, it's like us getting here and saying something that we know may or not be true on the legend. We have to try to reasonably be halfway respectable. Michael, go ahead.
No, it's okay. With this person, without naming them, were they with an organization or a business or something? Or not that would give a consumer right to, you know what I'm saying?
Have been in the past.
Okay, all right.
And they're well enough up with technology and what's going on with different companies that they should know better than to do that.
Okay. You hear them every week, Michael.
Okay, gotcha. Okay. So what was your question here, Mr. Bill?
You listen to a podcast, and I think because we need to talk about this just a little bit, you listen to a podcast. Well, I haven't got it yet, but by the way, thanks to Jennifer. Well, I went to their website. I, you know, did my application key, copied the link. Jennifer typed it in while I read it to her, and we finally got that in Overcast so I could get their podcast. But they had a very interesting Tech Talk presentation. I know we've done it here, but it is always good to get a different perspective of, you know, the Libre Link. So
yeah, Jeff Bishop did it. It's the Tech Talk we're talking about, folks, in the accessible world or whatever. And Jeff Bishop did a presentation on the Freestyle Libre. So there's a lot of stuff that's already been covered here, but it's, like I said, Bill said, it's always interesting to have another perspective. He gave me a good visual of how, you know, how you would actually install the sensor as much as one could get without actually having their hands on it. But I thought it was very interesting. And I learned something that I think had been mentioned here before, but there's things you forget, you know, like that it's actually monitoring a fluid as opposed to your blood, so there's maybe a few minute delay between you know, just little things and ways to get that sensor installed properly, and some differences between the competing product, the Dexcom, although they didn't talk too much about the Dexcom, and why should they if they're not really using it, but they did mention that it is there, and maybe the Medicare requirements for folks wanting to know that. But I thought it was very interesting if that's something you really, you know.
Did you get a sense from listening to the audience or question participation? It just hadn't got to my phone yet, or I would have probably heard it by now. Did you get a sense that the audience participation was pretty good. Did they, and were they interested in what they heard, or was something they wanted to pursue?
Well, yeah, they wanted to pursue. They just had questions. There were 6 or 7 questions. So yeah, definitely. There's definitely interest in it. I mean, it's one of those things, you know, if you need it, you need it. And, or if it, you have it in your family and you know that probably at some point you're going to need it. Yeah, there's a lot of interest in that. So maybe need to put together, you know, Dave's audio demo of assembling that and you know, what we've done in the past to make that available on the website or something for folks
who, you know, are interested in that. And I think the third thing that we're probably going to have to do on that is, now that we've got it put together and some people can use it and some of us are fortunate that our insurance pay for it, is how to advocate for people to A, get it paid for, and B, if that can't be the case, how we can shop and get the lowest prices for it. I know my doctor pulled up some websites and we looked for the cheapest price because he was an advocate for it. So you don't get a lot of doctors doing that. I was like, oh, I never heard of that. But I believe, now this is speculation on my part and my part only, that a device like this or something like this is going to take over the way people are going to do this. Now, I don't know, but I can see the days when it's kind of like cassette tapes or CDs. They're going to be left behind.
Yeah, exactly. The haves and have-nots.
This is going to change things, and I fully believe that, and so does my doctor. He does believe that it's going to change.
Now, they had one question, Bill, maybe you can answer. Someone had asked if it would work on an iPad. Does the iPad have the near-field communication?
The answer is probably, I don't know that the iPad has the NFC on it.
Yeah, so they recommended contacting Apple, the accessibility to Apple, to answer that one. And they said it might be awkward to try to hold that up near your arm. But
anything within, you have to be very careful. People call me and say, well, I have an iPhone 6, and I say, I'm sorry, it wasn't introduced into until the iPhone 7, so that's not going to work for you. But I've never seen NFC in an iPad. I'm not saying it doesn't work.
Right. And the other question was that they couldn't answer. Is there anyone using it accessibly with Android? Well, you know, we have to find someone that will.
That uses Android. You know, I'm kind of conflicted on that. I think Android does a lot of good things, but I don't see any reason why they could not. You know, I don't see any reason.
That was the thought, that was Jeff's impression, that they were probably built on the same. So it likely.
They're built on the same, and it was actually on the Android platform before it came to iOS. So if, and I put a big if here, if the buttons are labeled, you know, then I don't see any reason why it wouldn't.
Yeah, and they talked about one thing you mentioned, the one weakness in accessibility is pulling the PDF reports, where you mentioned you have to go to the website, or they're saying, well, you need to take the phone in and let someone with your doctor's office pull the PDF file off it if someone's not online, you know, have a personal computer for that.
But I suppose my two big concerns is I'm wonderful. I have it, you know, and can use it. But I worry about the people, and I get reminded of this all the time, about the people that are left behind, the people who cannot use an iPhone. I don't know that there's any way they can make anything accessible for them.
Well, right. That's where, first, as I said before we started the show, I think the blindness organizations might take on a useful project, and not that they want to do useful work, but I'm being a little cynical, but that they really go after Medicare and emphasize that this is something that needs to be supported, that it's going to save a lot of money in the long run from doctor's visits and visits to the hospital when the blood sugar gets out of whack, when it could be avoided. And right, if you just need a talking device to, you know, have the near field communication capability, and that's all it does is read, this could be integrated into a chip. So maybe those people could be served at some point in the future, but someone has to take that on and hopefully not gouge the community in the process of doing that.
407 has a raised hand.
That's Shirley.
Yes, go ahead, Shirley.
Good morning. How are all of you doing today?
Good.
I listened to the show, and it was a very interesting program. A couple of things that I learned that I didn't know, particularly about the Dexcom. Jeff was saying that if you want to use the Dexcom, you're actually supposed to install the sensors for that on your stomach.
Oh, yes.
And I wasn't aware of that. I thought that was quite interesting.
Well, another thing he didn't mention, Shirley, was that if you use the Dexcom, you have to have sighted help because each sensor has a code that has to be entered. And so.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay. I wasn't aware of that either. Now, as far as Android versus iOS devices, I can't say like right now, definitely, but at the beginning of November, I had the opportunity to meet a Freestyle rep. I guess she was actually an Abbott rep, whatever. But anyway, she told me at the time that there was an Android app out, but it was a third-party app, and they didn't actually support it as far as Android. Now, she seemed to think there was one coming. If it's out now, you know, between then and now, I don't know. I have her contact information, and I could find out, or obviously anybody could call Abbott, I'm sure, and find that out, or Freestyle, you know,
well,
and
you
find out.
The Play Store and search for it, and it will.
Right.
I believe there is, but.
Well, she said there was one that you could get at, apparently, at the Play Store, but it was not, an approved, it was not something that they had put out. It was a third-party app, and she was not, I guess, actually encouraging people to use it at the time. So if you would find one there, I guess you would have to talk with them or see if it said that it was actually something, put out by Freestyle. So, that would be the only thing that I would know about that. And there was definitely, as Mike said, there was definitely a lot of interest. I think that people, I know I have a friend that was on the line at the time who asked a couple questions, and she's on Medicare. And I think she was a little disappointed to hear because, she's not on insulin. I think they were saying if you're on Medicare, you have to test at least, four times a day. And possibly, I think somebody maybe said that, you had to be on insulin to get approval if you were on Medicare. But I know that Jeff was very much encouraging, people to advocate for themselves and, to let their doctors know that, they just can't really do accurate tests with blood, even as many years as he was doing it. He didn't really feel, that was a good, accurate way for, blind people sure. to be able to get reading.
Shirley, so we do have, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Shirley. We do have Bill in Chicago who raised his hand.
Okay. You mentioned what Bill mentioned back a little bit ago with the NFE on the iPhone. Could somebody develop just that chip to go into a little unit for people that can't use iPhones and that? It would read the same thing?
We don't know.
Technically someone could have been willing to take that on. But I think
it looks like they could.
I just came up with a revelation. I would suggest, because we have a lot of listeners here, that one from the ACB and NFB really pushed to get resolutions to make the organizations aware and to go ask Medicare to and explain all that and explain about the accuracy, that at best, finger sticks and using the strips is 70% accurate at best and advocate for that.
The other thing is, if Shirley's talking about the Android app too, Mike, if there's anyone who is visually impaired who uses this Freestyle Libre using the Android, we'd certainly like to hear from them as well.
Yeah, I just don't have an Android device that uses that. I'm not saying it couldn't, but you definitely have to have that NFC chip in your device and, the app, of course. And we're going to be talking more about Android in just a few moments. But still, I think advocating, price watching if you can't, because Chris has done some very good price comparisons and her pharmacist, especially at Walmart. I'm not trying to call out Walmart, but they really got her a good bargain the last time. So
forget that app, the GoodRx app that will show
the GoodRx app, right, that you can actually go out there and search for the best prices. And believe it or not, folks, there's a big difference in prices on the same medication.
One of the things, Bill, that my ex-wife tells me about, Kristen says that she gets those pens for insulin because the doctor doesn't want her using the syringes. They want her to use the pens. And that we could not find those pens anywhere else but Walmart. And the doctor said that if you need pens to administer insulin, the best place to get them at the lowest price that sells them all over the country is Walmart.
Yeah. Shirley, you notice when you go around shopping for prescriptions, what a big difference in prices. You really have to be an advocate.
Yeah, but now they tell me, my insurance company tells me, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
My insurance company tells me that, you know, because of my co-pays and everything, they're really supposed to be the same price everywhere as far as, you know, if I'm getting them like at the store versus, now, of course, mail order, it's going to be a different price. But they tell me if I'm getting it at a drugstore, if I'm going to, you know, an approved drugstore, that my copay should be the same, whether it's at Walmart, Walgreens, or whatever. And I know you have Federal Blue Cross. Are you finding that there's a discrepancy in that, Bill?
No, not really too much. It's pretty much about the same, but we're fortunate. But I'm right. Thinking about the people who are either A, just on Medicare, or who are self-paying. That's the kind of people I'm thinking about.
Sure, that would make a difference, I'm sure.
You know, to being, you know, a good consumer and shop around. Just because the corner drugstore, they might give you the best price. I don't know. But you really, 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 I know one time on some diabetes medicine, it was $300 for this bottle. And I went online and got a coupon that my pharmacist didn't even look up for me. And I got it down to $3. I mean, so you really have to push for yourself. And if you don't, you're going to get pushed behind, unfortunately, because they don't either get too busy, don't care, don't whatever. So you thought it was an interesting presentation, Shirley. Is that?
I did, and I just got a phone call I have to take. So
all right.
Thank you very much, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Of course, Bill, they're in it for the money, too. That's the thing. And I was going to, because Shirley had to get off the line. But you got to watch if you do those mail order drug things, because you have no way of going back and saying, hey, you sent me the wrong pills or you sent me the wrong medication, where you can go to your store and get it straightened out. But if you order a mail order through Canada, someone was talking about that. A doctor says the same thing. If you order like through Canada or someone's place, sure, it's cheaper. But you're taking, well, we'll say 500 milligrams or something, or 100 milligrams, and they actually send you too much or too less, you can't go back to them and say, hey, you gave me the wrong prescription. You're gonna take time to mail it back and you're without medication.
I've heard of them actually, theoretically, it shouldn't happen, but I've heard of a friend of mine who had a medication mail order and it was the wrong medication. It was a heart medication, which was totally the wrong medication.
Well, oh, yeah, right. They've done that too. I mean, you got to. Mail order's nice, you get it cheaper, but, and of course, myself, I got Medicare and I got Blue Cross supplement, Blue Cross RX, because I had that at work, the Blue Cross, and I just kept it going, but.
Right, but you have that, and we're fortunate, but there's a lot of people who don't. By the way, Chris, right. You want to give out the phone number one more time in case somebody wants to join us?
Yeah, I can do that.
It is.
I just wanted to see if you were awake.
646-558-8656. That's 646-558-8656. Press pound as instructed, and the meeting ID is 848-725-450. That's 848-725-450. Press pound again, and when you're asked for the user ID, press pound again. And I will say that Dave and I spent a couple of days calling around trying to get prices, and we'd call, one of us called one place, one of us another, and we got all kinds of prices. So you're right about that.
It's a wide variety. It's a wide open market, and you were fortunate that you landed on a good place, and hopefully the next time it'll be just as cheap, if not cheaper. And also tell us the experience about one of your, was it Dave Sensor that went bad, and how he was able to call them up and they sent out another one?
Yeah, because he made the call about that. I'll let him tell you.
Yeah, I for whatever reason, it's the sensor stopped working. And so I called Freestyle, and, you know, they asked me a couple of questions, and you can go into the app. The only thing they wanted to know was what the serial number of the sensor was.
And we had already thrown it away.
But we found it in the app, and we got the serial number, and they overnighted the sensor. So we got it very fast.
Yeah, Jeff Bishop had mentioned that as well, that they were very good about replacing defective sensors.
He had only been using it like 3 days when it quit working.
Yeah, for some reason it just.
I had that problem once, but it was only 2 days to go when I did.
He also mentioned about going through airports, that you don't want that thing to be scanned. It'll ruin it.
Oh, I never. That's a good point. And see, we've got, is this the real 225 or is this the fake 225?
It is the real 225.
Oh, okay. It's the real 225. It's not the fake news 225?
No, okay. It's not the fake one. But what I was calling about, Bill, y'all were talking about the Libra and the Dexcom and all those. Well, Teresa and I just went to Capitol Hill this past week.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the things that we advocated for with our two senators and our two congressmen, that that all these meters should come out of the box talking. You know, you go to the store right now and you buy a glucometer off the shelf. You don't know what you're getting. You don't know if it speaks or not. And if it does speak, it may just give the blood sugar, but you can't set it. And I mean, everyone's different. So, and then our point was that on this Libre, that meter should speak, because you take an elderly person who's going to spend $1,000 to buy an iPhone just to take their glucose reading.
Well, fortunately, Pierre, the people that usually pay the money for iPhones, of course, you don't have to pay $1,000, but still, you can buy an iPhone or whatever. But fortunately, there's enough Android phones out there that are cheap enough that would be able to read that. That shouldn't be a problem, but it's learning the system, Pierre. A lot of people who've never been exposed or never used an iPhone, you can't walk in and say, Pierre, use this iPhone in just a couple of days. You know, it's a way of learning and a way of doing. I mean,
well, and he's talking about the senior citizen who maybe is losing their sight, like some of the people we know, and ends up being a diabetic. They're not going to be able to use a phone or something like that right away, and they still need to be able to monitor their sugar.
Well, that's why I agree. That's why I said a minute ago, Bill, that's why I agree with Pierre. I think I said his name was, that they should make some kind of instrument. Say, for example, like the wife was diabetic, and I ordered the Prodigy. Now, that talked, and it kept track of the stuff. Well, if they can do that, taking a drop of blood, that little tiny instrument, for about, I think it was about $80 or less than that, and I don't remember what I paid for it. Well, they can surely make a unit that does the same thing as your iPhone or Android, and it's one little instrument you buy that comes with these sensor pads that all you do is put up against there, and it would read the number to your audible and also keep track of it, store it, and you could take it to your doctor and you download it or look at it. Now, if they can develop the thing like the Prodigy to read it with a drop of blood, they can surely make the same instrument to read it off of one of these sensors.
It only costs them less than $5 to put a chip in there.
They could put a chip in the reader.
That's what I mean. I mean, they could, you know, it's what I'm talking. Anybody should be able, that's what they should advocate with the manufacturers, is, hey, forget the iPhone, forget the Android phone. If it's on there, okay, but make a separate unit that you can buy for maybe $40 or $50 that does the same thing.
Well, I think more to Pierre's point, I think he's saying any of the glucometers that you could buy in the store should talk.
Well, yeah, I agree with that, too. Yeah, I agree with that, too.
I mean, that's crazy. You shouldn't have to spend extra money just to get something that's accessible if you have a medical issue like that. It should be a requirement that they're all accessible.
And, Jennifer, the only way that's going to happen is if legislation requires it, and that's not happening yet.
Okay. So Pierre, what was the reaction of the lawmakers?
One of our congressmen didn't react to it favorably, but all the rest of them were in favor of it. They agreed that this stuff should be made accessible, you know.
Now, the congressman that didn't, what was his reasoning? He just didn't give any, or?
He just didn't give one. He just, you know, everything. There were three things we discussed, with self-driving cars, and then declaring everything that has a lens as a pair of glasses so Medicare doesn't have to pay for it. And then that one, and he wasn't too sharp on either one of them.
Well, you got to think, too, some of these people are really dumb and, you'd say, more or less prejudiced against people with any kind of handicap. I mean, you'll get people that, you can have a person who's got autism or anything, or even deaf or anything, and there's some people that think, oh, well, that's a minority crowd. We don't have to worry about them. They'll get along. Somebody will help them around. Somebody will do this. Somebody will do that for them. And there's a lot of people that think that way. I ran into it where I was working a lot of times, and I'd have to kind of set them straight.
But
I still advocate, instead of mandating every device have this, why not? This, I've been trying to do this for 20 years. Why not come up with a talking LED LCD reader, a little handheld device you can use on any device?
My iPod, I guess if I had to, I could take a picture of the meter and see what it says. But I mean, you shouldn't have to do that.
That's what you did, Bill, for a while.
Yeah. That's what I did. That's what I did. I had to do it. I didn't have a choice. But you're right. Or if this company wanted to do something, you know, they're always saying about Ira. Well, maybe that's what they, you know.
But if you remember, Bill, when this Libre was being developed, the ACB went to him immediately and said, you need to make this thing talk. But he refused. In fact, somebody actually wrote a code or a program or something to make it talk and sent it to him, and he wouldn't use it.
Because it's something that the mainstream people wouldn't want. You know, that they should have an option to turn that on or off.
Right.
It's something they just, it's, you know, it's the same thing with talking.
It goes to the idea that sighted people hate to hear stuff talk. People get so mad because our TV talks. It just drives them nuts. And we love it, of course. But, I mean, they hate any extra noise that they're not used to.
Right, there was a microwave that was...
So you have to have a way they could turn it off because they want to...
I will tell you that there are blind people who feel the same way, too. Don't kid yourself, Jennifer. It's not just sighted people.
And like I said, the other thing we discussed was Medicare declaring anything with a lens as a pair of glasses, a CCTV, an iPod, a reading machine, anything that has a lens, Medicare declares that as a pair of glasses. And so they won't pay for any of that stuff. I mean, that was the other thing we advocated for. And then we were lucky, our Congressman Steve Scalise, he was on the transportation committee, so he really got into the driverless car with us. He said he was big time in favor of it.
Do you think Pierre will ever see driverless cars in our lifetime?
I don't think so. And then, you know, blind people are really getting into this driverless car, but when they do come out and they find out they're $80,000 to $100,000 and rehab is not going to buy them one, I mean,
Pierre, the model is not that you'll own the driverless car, Pierre. The model is that you will rent the driverless car for the time you need it. That's the model that will probably work for people who are visually impaired. You won't own the car because you won't be able to afford it, and you won't be able to afford the insurance possibly. But you'll rent the driverless car. And I always believed, and I know that my friend Tim in Albany, New York, tells me I'm wrong, but I always believe that with driverless cars, even if you're totally blind driving it, you'll always have to have someone who's monitoring that route with you, because you don't know what happens if that driverless car makes a mistake or doesn't go right, or all of a sudden you can't navigate it. Someone's going to have to fix that and work that out. There are a lot of variables in, but you know, in our lifetime, we will see driverless cars. They're working on it already. They're testing them out now. It's going to happen in our lifetime.
Oh, it's definitely going to happen because there's just too much money invested, too much talent. Now, Pittsburgh just made a bunch of changes to be one of the first cities to allow it and do the testing, which they were kind of leading the way. Everyone backed off when you had the accident out in Arizona, you know, where the vehicle did not yield to the woman who she was in the wrong, but she was high or whatever and crossed the road, and the vehicle didn't yield, and driver was watching Netflix and she was killed, and the family took their little settlement and that went away. But so it's going to happen, but it's going to take a while. There's a lot. The biggest problem is going to be interfacing driverless with manned vehicles and trying to anticipate what humans are going to do.
That's right. But and there are so many variables. Mike, you and I could sit there and talk for an hour. Like, I get the driverless car and I wanted to take me to the mall and it's going to drop me off. How do I know where it dropped me off? Do I know if it's in the front of the mall? Is it at the side parking lot? Is it the rear of the mall? I mean, there are a lot of variables that are going to have to be worked out for a blind person to use that driverless car. But yes, ultimately, it will be done. I guarantee it will be done.
I was telling somebody the other day, you'd have to go to Walmart and it would park itself in a 20-acre parking lot, and you'd have to get on top of the car and yell for somebody to come help you. Get into the store.
You got a point there. Yeah, I can find the store, but then I can't find how to get in. So it's going to be a trick, and I don't know how or when that will be done. But one other thing before we get to Chris and Dave's demo that I did wanted to bring up, and Pierre, you're welcome to stay on the line. Jennifer, you've been listening to a program review. You got a Braille Touch a few years ago, and now they're coming back and saying, well, you know, technology's changed, so we're going to have to update this. And if you want to keep up, then you're going to have to pay, almost $1,300, $1,250 or $95 or something like that in order to bring this up to the newest operating system and to be faster and to do all the things. What's your opinion on that, your Braille Touch?
Well, the new one sounds like something that if you want to be able to use the product and keep using it and keep improving, that you're going to have to do it. I mean, it's faster, and they claim that they'll be able to do a lot more things with it because it's a more up-to-date system, and the whole operating system will update faster. I wish they would have thought about that 3 years ago when they made the one I bought. And I just wonder, my only concern is if you upgrade it to this one, is this one only going to last 3 years and then you're going to have to do it again? I mean, I'm glad they're giving you a discount if you bought one already.
Yeah.
But that's how these companies make their money, is they, right, they keep updating and updating. I mean, look at Jaws. How much, you know, a person that originally bought Jaws, how much has it cost them over the years?
They're probably in the 20s now.
But remember, that screen reading software company package is available for a limited market. So if it was available for hundreds of thousands of people that needed it, it would be cheaper. It costs money to make the software. It costs money for development. It costs money for tech support. It's not, you know.
Well, I get all that, but I mean, you know, maybe they should hold off on doing these things until they have something viable that's going to last longer. Because, yeah, I get it. They know that they have an in with rehab, and rehab's going to pay for all this, and schools are going to get grants to pay for all of it. But what about individual people that bought it?
Unfortunately, it's a very bad thing for me to say, and I know I'm going to get a lot of flack for this, but there are the haves and there are the have-nots. And I'm sorry that that's the way it is in society, whether you're blind, sighted, or whatever disability you have.
Well, even if you have, who said you want to spend $4,000 or $5,000 every 2 or 3 years to fix something that they should have made last longer than that the first time you paid it? I mean, you figure most people look at the money you pay for a car and how long, if you take care of it, your car lasts before you have to buy another one.
But
and you don't think there's any technology or anything that goes into making a car?
Yeah, but Jennifer, when you buy an appliance, for example, I had a refrigerator, and they will tell you that the life cycle for a refrigerator isn't 20 or 30 years like it used to be. You're lucky if you're going to get 15 years out of it or even 10 years out of it.
Right, so. But that's a refrigerator.
But that's with everything today. It's not just the refrigerators. It's with everything you buy today.
Well, okay, on this particular item that you bought a few years ago, and this product, they started out using a way, way, way back version of Android to begin with. So they weren't up to date before they got started. They were way, 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 way behind. And they come to find out that that really didn't work. Now, they're not the only company that's done this. They're, you know, the other companies and things happen, I suppose. But, you know, it's like, fortunately, going to go back to Apple here with these iPhones. People that are using an iPhone 5S can still run the latest operating system on their iPhone. Now, maybe their experience wouldn't be as good as somebody that's, of course, running an iPhone 10, but they've done a pretty good job. Of course, that's more mainstream.
But when they tell you, I mean, they're telling people, if you have the version that you bought 3 years ago, we'll update it what we can, which is a nice way of saying you're basically messed over. You're not going to get any more updates to your product. We'll support it if you send it in and need to get it fixed, as long as we have these old tablets we can fix it with.
That's with any product. If you have an iPhone 4S, Jennifer, Apple doesn't really support that anymore, and you're not going to be able to up that. How far back do you want them to keep supporting?
This is something that's only a couple years old.
But again, the company has to look at how much money they're making versus how much money they're spending on these products. That's another issue.
You're paying five times the price, if not more, than what you paid for that iPhone. Maybe 10 times as much money.
No, I'm not disagreeing with you guys, but this is the defense that they're going to say. That's what I'm trying to say.
They'll go out.
If I'm going to spend $5,000 for a piece of equipment, I expect it to go more than 2 years.
Right.
Right. That's what I'm saying
I don't care.
Do they have upgrade plans like Jaws does?
No.
Do you pay so much?
No, because they're upgrading hardware. It's a hardware issue.
Oh, it's a hardware issue. Okay. I thought it was a software issue with the thing.
No, it's a hardware issue.
Okay. All right. Because I didn't know what the equipment. I didn't know understand what the piece of equipment was she was using for sure.
It's a note taker in the
to
accommodate, and I know it, it gets expensive, but anyone else got anything before we go to our second?
I just want to say hi to Chris. I don't know if she remembers Teresa and I from Little Rock.
I should. She stepped away, but this is her husband and she can hear you.
In a second here, and
she can hear you though, Pierre.
Pierre, you really know Chris?
Yeah,
you do.
Many, 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 many moons ago.
I know that goes back a few years.
I think it was like 1980, whatever. I don't remember. It was in the 80s.
Way back in the
80s. In the 90s, I think it was. Yeah.
Pierre's the one I love having fun with on the weekends when we do the classic country, the gospel show.
And I didn't mean to offend anyone, Pierre. I like to play devil's advocate. I'm sorry.
I do too. I agree. I do too.
Oh, Pierre, I can mess with Pierre all the time. We mess with him every week.
I don't know anybody because I go back to 50s.
Go ahead, Dave. You were saying something?
Yeah. I just said Chris did hear Pierre. She can hear him anyway. She's not here, but she can hear you.
Well, that's fine. Just wanted to say hello.
Yeah. But anyway.
Yeah. I always call in to the country show and the gospel show and get some old, old, old songs that Bill can't find. I try to stump him.
Well, you've been doing a pretty good job lately, but you know what, though, Pierre? That just challenges me to go out and find more gospel music and try to be able to make that better. It is a challenge sometimes because we'd have to have a hard drive bigger than this house to accommodate everything out there.
But you
do a wonderful job at it, though, and I enjoy it. It's more the challenge, and Tim will tell you the same thing. It's the challenge of finding something,
I like to stump Bill too because I go back to the 50s, sometimes the 40s. This is Bill in Chicago.
Yeah, I just throw your requests away, Bill.
When my birthday comes in August, I'm gonna have to stump him to get me some music from 1945.
We don't even go back that far. Yeah, we got some music 1945. You can't be that old here. 1945. But anyway, we have fun, and Pierre's always, we're on the sports line. We'll talk about the Cubs and NASCAR and all that good kind of stuff. So we have fun, and that's really what this is all about.
That's what it's all about.
Is having fun and not taking ourselves so seriously. So anyway, Dave, thanks, Pierre. Dave, what do we got for the second hour? What are we going to do today?
Well, we've actually had some requests to redo a demo for a Keurig coffee maker. And we had done, a while back, the Keurig K-Select. So we decided that we were going to rerun it. Now, there may be a difference in a demo in the price, but the current price right now, as soon as I shut my phone up, is $129 at Keurig and $120 on Amazon.
But all these Keurigs are different. Like, we go to these hotels, and some of them you have to hit the power button first. Some of them they're all different. And so we always, when we go to these hotels, we always have to get someone to come in the room to show us the procedure to do it.
Well, this demo should take care of this particular model.
And I'm back, Pierre. Good morning. And yes, I do remember you all.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, DSB.
DSB.
Division of Services for the Blind. Yeah.
So that goes way, way, way back.
Uh-huh.
I thought I was...
Somebody said anything I didn't hear.
Jeez, Chris is having...
My radio batteries.
Her batteries died.
All kinds of stuff going on this morning. I'll get them checked in a second, but I had run down to get the mail.
Oh.
Well, sounds like you did the 50-yard dash in 5 seconds.
I was trying
seconds.
To hurry.
The 50-yard dash and that kind of stuff is probably not a walker that asked for this demo again, speaking of our...
Yeah, anyway, it's the Keurig K-Select.
Keurig K-Select. Yeah, there. We've got this one here in Florida, but at home we've got the Keurig. What is it? A Keurig? What is our Keurig at home, Jennifer? Now she's gone, too. It's my magnetic personality just drives these people away, I think.
I ran to check the mail before we got any more snow.
Oh, okay. What's the one we've got, Dave? The Keurig?
Keurig. Is that Elite?
Is that the Elite? It might be the Elite. It's the one with the water.
You have one with the bigger tank.
The bigger tank. I think that's the big reason she made me get it. It was the same price as yours. It was on sale or something, but same thing. Maybe made a tad bit better. I said maybe. They're only going to last so long anyway. Well, I guess we're going to do the coffee thing.
I was just going to say, I think the bigger ones have the, instead of having 6, 8, and 10 ounce cups, they have 10 or 8, 10, and 12.
She has 6, 8, 10, and 12.
I think we got 6 on that.
Yeah, there's all kinds of different models. We picked this one because it's just simple to operate and it works.
It does work. One other thing before we get started real quick. There was somebody that was doing a demo of how they made the Power XL, the deep fryer you talk about, Dave, the oven, how they made it accessible. You know, they were using the one with the digital tusk. And I said, well, we just got the plus with the buttons on it. How we made ours accessible.
Yeah, that's one way to do it.
but anyway... I guess Jennifer's not back, but we'll get started.
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay. What's the name of ours? Is that the Elite, the one with the big tank?
Yeah, I think ours is the Elite.
Yeah, back in Indiana. So we're going to do this demo, and everybody will be muted while we're on here, and we'll give it a shot.
Good morning. Today, we are going to demonstrate a new Keurig coffee brewer. This one is called the Select. The K Select is the model of this Keurig. When you take this unit out of the box, it comes with the reservoir or tank, whatever you want to call it, and the Keurig itself, and a filter that you can put in the tank if you choose to use the filter. Also in the box, there is a tray that goes down against whatever you have the Keurig sitting on, and it goes up against the Keurig where you put your cup onto this tray, and then when you're using the brewer, the coffee comes down into you, straight down into the cup that's sitting on that tray. The Keurig is about 9 inches wide if you count the reservoir already sitting on the Keurig, and front to back is
10 inches at its widest point.
I guess you heard Chris, 10 inches at its widest point. And
about 12 inches tall.
About 12 inches tall, which is not too bad. It's a lot smaller than some of the bigger 2.0 Keurigs, which is kind of nice because if you have a little problem with space, this is the way to go. Now, I have the unit out of the box, and I took out the reservoir out of its package and had some tape all over it to keep the lid on. So you have to peel all that tape off. And there is some tape in different places on the unit. So make sure you look for any kind of tape. And that was for shipping purposes, so things wouldn't come open and stuff like that. And make sure you have all that torn off. And I found the, I'm not using the water filter, so I don't have, I'm not going to worry about that. But if you do want to use it, you remove the lid from the top of the reservoir, which is on the left-hand side of the Keurig, and you'll remove the lid from that. And down inside the lid, there's a little thing that sticks up. If you stick your hand down into the tank, you can feel a little thing that sticks up. And you take this long filter holder and you put that down in and make sure that it's lined up, and then turn it just a little bit so it stays in place. And then after you do that, there's a little packet in there that has your filter in, and that just lays inside of that holder if you choose to use that filter and holder. Okay. We'll start from the left-hand side, and the left-hand side is where you set the reservoir down onto the base of the Keurig. And, of course, you want to, you would fill that tank or reservoir with water. And once you have that, then you set it down onto the base of the Keurig. And then if you bring your hands over from the left, you will find on the top of the unit, there is a sort of a oblong thing about, I would say 3 inches wide. And on the front of it, if you bring your fingers towards the front of it, you'll find a metal handle that's sort of rounded on it, on the very edge of it on the front. This is on the front of the Keurig on the top. And you lift that handle up, and the there's like a little lid that opens up, and that will allow you to put your K-cup into the K-cup holder that's built into the Keurig. Once you have the K-cup in, then you pull the handle down like that. Just pull it down and it'll stop. And so we will assume there's water in there, and there is a K-cup in there. Now, what I usually do when I put the K-cup in, I will set the K-cup down into its holder, and then I will take my fingers, maybe two fingers, one on each side of the K-cup on the top, and just sort of give it a little press down, because sometimes when you close the lid, it doesn't always punch the holes into the K-cup. So if you put a little pressure on it, that works every time. So now what I'll do is I'll bring my hands on over to the right past the top where my handle is, and I will find a panel of sorts. And if I go from right to left, if I take my fingers on the very front of the Keurig on that right hand side and bring my fingers up, I will come to a row of buttons. These are on the we have one row of buttons that go vertical up and down, starting from the top. That is your power button. Then you have a row of three lights. The first light is auto shut off. The second light is descale. And the third light is add water. And then down below those three lights, you have one, two, three, four buttons. And the right below the lights, the first button, and these buttons get smaller as you go down towards the bottom as you're following those four buttons down. The top one below the lights on the right is, that is 12 ounces. The next button down is 8 ounces.
10 ounces.
I'm sorry, 10 ounces. The next button down is 8 ounces, and the last button down is 6 ounces.
So the cool thing is, the smaller the cup size, the smaller the button.
Right. And that makes a lot of sense. Now, if I take my hands back up to the top right where the power button is, and if I come down to where that row of three lights are, and I bring my hands just slightly to the left, I will find one more button. And that button is the strong button. And what that does is when you put your cake up in and you lift the handle and you put it down and you press whatever size you want, if you press the strong button first, that's the one to the left of the top of those three lights, it brews real slow, so it might take maybe a minute to fill your coffee cup. But when it does, that coffee is a lot stronger because it brews slower. Now, if I take my hands over to the center of the front of the Keurig and come down to where this tray is that I said was available when you take it out of the box. Now, I slide the, I'll make sure that the tray is slid up against the front of the Keurig so that when I set my coffee cup in there, it's going to sit on that tray. So if it would happen to overflow, which I've never seen it do that, but if it would.
Or if you have a tall mug.
Yeah, but if you have a tall mug or something like that, you might want to take that tray out so you can get a bigger glass under there or whatever. And so anyway, we want to make sure that that tray is in place, which it is right now. And when you push it up against the front of the Keurig, it's sort of, it doesn't block, but it sits in there straight, and it matches up to the Keurig. It looks like it was built in to the Keurig. Now, here is a little tip. When you first plug this Keurig in, and you go to use it, there is a default of automatic shutoff after 2 hours. And there is a way to turn that off. Now, if you remember that I said you have the row of buttons on the right, and the top button being the power button, and then below the lights are your 12 ounce and then the 10 ounce, you know, and so on down to 6 ounces. So to disable the auto shut off, which that's what we do, we never turn this thing off, is you hold down the strong button and the 10 ounce button for 5 seconds. So that would be the on to the left of the row of lights, right next to the top light, bring your finger over from the top light, you bring your finger over to the left. So once you bring your fingers over, I was distracted by the telephone. Once you bring your fingers over from the top light over to the left and find that strong button, and then you below the lights, you want the second button down from below the lights, which is your 10-ounce button, and you press and hold the strong button and the 10-ounce button for about 3 to 5 seconds, and that will disappear disable that shutoff. So, you know, if you have it turned on, it's always on, and then you can always put a new K-Cup in and brew it without having to wait for the unit to heat up. Now, the other thing I wanted to talk about is the reservoir or the tank, as I like to call it. I guess I'm old fashioned or something. I don't know. But anyway, it holds 52 ounces of water, which is not bad. There are some bigger Keurigs that have maybe a 62 or one of them even has a 72. But one thing about this particular Keurig is that it's lighter than a lot of the other Keurigs too. So if you have to carry it around, it's nice to have a reservoir that's not quite as heavy because it doesn't have so much water in it.
And it's a simpler Keurig to operate. There's no touch screen. There's no programming.
Right. No touch screen. Very simple unit to operate.
It's in their classic series. They have been asked to go back to a new brewer, but one with buttons, and this is what they did.
And these buttons on this Keurig are, they're good sized buttons, so you can't mistake those. Even where those three lights are very tactile. I mean, you can feel all three of those lights.
They said sighted people like buttons too sometimes.
Yeah.
That's what they told us.
So what I'm going to do now, I have the unit plugged in, and I hope this thing works. I did press the power button for about 3 seconds to turn it on, and I waited a minute or so, and it sort of makes like a little roaring noise for a minute or so until it heats everything up. That's when you first plug it in or turn it on. So I've got it turned on, and I'm going to get myself a K-Cup. I like Barista Prima Italian coffee, so that's what I'm going to put in here. So I came to the front of the Keurig, and I lifted the handle up, which lifts this kind of like a little cover that goes over the K-Cup. And I have my K-Cup in there. I have it sitting in there, and I'm going to take a finger on each side of the top of that K-Cup and just push it just a little bit. And you probably heard it click. So it's already punched a hole in the bottom of that K-Cup, because that's where the coffee comes out and then goes down into the coffee cup. So then I will close the lid by taking a hold of the handle and just push it down. And now it's down. And I like 8 ounces of coffee. So I'm going to go over to the buttons on the right-hand side on the top. And I'll start from the bottom and go to the second button up. And I will just press that button. So I'm going to press the 8 ounce button, second button up from the bottom. And hopefully the microphone will pick that noise up. It has started. I'm putting all that good stuff into my coffee cup because I have the coffee cup on the tray underneath. Just about finished. It's done just about now. So I will lift the handle on the front of the Keurig on the top. And we'll take the K-Cup out and throw it away. And I have an 8 ounce cup of coffee. Might as well taste it while I'm here. Good stuff. Mm-hmm. my favorite coffee, Barista Prima Italian. It's good and strong coffee. If you like strong coffee, that's the way you go. And now I will turn this over to Chris and have her give you some information about this Keurig K-Select. Go ahead, Chris.
And in case anybody's curious, my favorite is the Caribou. Not necessarily the breakfast blend, just the Caribou regular. But anyway, the Keurig Select is available from Keurig.com, or you can call Keurig at 1-866-901-2739. That's 1-866-901-2739. It is currently available for $129. Amazon also has it, but I checked the price, and it's $175 on there, at least right now. So that's the scoop on the Keurig Select.
Do you want to give the phone number for Keurig again?
I can. 1-866-901-2739. And they do have really good customer service.
Okay. Chris and I really enjoy this new Keurig because it's not a touchscreen, for one, which makes it a lot easier to use because it does have tactile buttons on it, and it does not have a digital display screen and all of that kind of stuff.
And one of the things I actually really like about it is on the touchscreens, it senses what you put in there and does something they call reading the K-Cup. Well, if you don't put a K-Cup in there, let's say you just want a package of hot chocolate. You just want some hot water, some really hot water for your hot chocolate, and you put a package in the cup. You have to stand there and hold the button in, the 6 ounce, the button, the brew button in on the 2.0, and it'll give you 6 ounces of water at a time. This one, if you want 6 ounces, 8 ounces, whatever, you just put your powder in the bottom of the cup and push the button. Now, Keurig makes hot chocolate, all right, but I happen to like the Swiss Miss. They don't have the Swiss Miss no sugar, which I particularly like, but that doesn't come in a K-Cup yet. So that's the reason I like the powdered hot chocolate.
Okay, so for now, that concludes our demonstration of the K-Select Keurig coffee brewer. Works very well. Chris and I really enjoy it. And I'm definitely glad that it is not a touchscreen. Although the touchscreens are okay, I don't want to give somebody the wrong impression that they're no good, because they are.
We used one for a year.
We have used one for probably about a year or so without too many problems. But anyway, that concludes our demonstration of the Keurig K-Select coffee brewer. If you have any questions, you can call Bill Sparks at 317-886-1103. That's 317-886-1103. Or you can email Bill Sparks at bill@billsparks.org. That's bill@billsparks.org. Well, that's all I have time for now. Everyone have a great week, and we'll talk to you later.
Did not catch the numbers, so they are 646-55.
Try that again.
Okay. We didn't catch the phone numbers. We didn't catch that in the demo. We gave the old ones. But they are 646-558-8656. That's 646-558-8656. And the meeting ID you will need is 848-725-450. That's 848-725-450. And when you're asked for a user ID, press pound. And again, the Keurig price is correct, but the Amazon price is currently $120.
Okay, so do you have to press the strong button before you press the 12, or once you press one of the 12, 10, 8, or 6, will it start brewing the coffee and then strong won't work?
You press the strong button first and then your size.
Right, got it.
Strong button first and then your size. Yeah, I forgot about that because we have to edit that out.
Yeah, we normally do too, but we didn't.
So while the demo was on, I went upstairs and used my K-Select, got myself a nice, strong Barista Prima Italian cup of coffee.
So I have a question. Could you, like, maybe instead of an 8 ounce, could you just push the strong and a 12 ounce and essentially maybe get the same potency with more coffee?
Which is nice, because if you use a strong button and you press the the 12 ounce or whatever, it's going to make that coffee stronger because it brews slower. If that makes sense to you.
How about if you made 2 6-ounce cups with a strong button out of the same, you know what I mean?
Same K-cup?
Yeah.
You could do that, but I don't know what it would taste like. I don't know how
well that would work. I don't know. I mean, it might work. I just don't know. We never did that.
I've wondered it. I've thought about trying to reuse a K-cup just to see.
Oh, I know people that do that all the time.
Chewing gum over again.
I don't think it works well. For me, I don't really care for it. But if you use the strong button, I don't know. It might be all right. But I've reused a K-cup just to see what it was like, and I didn't really care for it. And on the chocolate, you can't do that because when the water goes through, it doesn't leave anything. It dissolves all that powder in there, so you get left with an empty K-cup.
That's like unwrapping your old chewing gum and re-chewing it.
I know somebody that does that. I really know somebody that does that.
Yes,
we know somebody that uses the same cup 3 or 4 times before they get rid of it.
Or a tea bag, reuses a tea bag, which is okay maybe once, but after that, I don't know how you get very much out of it.
You know, while maybe
we'll play a little Lonnie Donegan to start off the show.
Yeah, there you go. while that was going on today, while you were doing that, I went in and did some comparisons. And I have the two digital assistants sitting next to me. And Google did a much better job at shopping for both of these appliances. We compared the Elite with the Select and just did some comparison shopping. Didn't you think so, Jennifer? How Google gave you several different places and stores to
find. Oh, I'm sure there's lots of stuff out there.
Oh, it's funny you mention that, because I was going to bring that up, Bill, is when you're looking for these products, I would highly recommend, if you don't have the Google Home, and even if you do, get an app for your iPhone called Google Express, and that's essentially what you're using. And what it does, it searches. I looked last weekend. It has well over 100 stores now. So when you search for something, you're getting the benefit of searching all these stores, Target and Walmart and Kohl's and Bed Bath and Beyond, all these different stores, and you will get better prices in most cases than you can find on Amazon.
Oh, no. Well, I'll give you an example. We were looking for unsweetened iced tea, Lipton unsweetened K-Cup. One thing on Amazon said you can get 24 for $19 from Amazon, or you can get 12 for $39. Now, I don't know. My math is not that good, but I think I figured that one out. You know, 39. But Google just did an outstanding job. And I'll explain that in more detail in just a moment.
On the cups, what type of cup did you guys use? Were you used for the coffee? Is it styrofoam or what's the temperature?
You can use regular coffee cups.
You can use any kind of cup you want.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter.
Oh, okay, so you can put a mug in there and be all right.
Anything.
Yeah, you can.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you just set it. You just set it in front of it. You don't actually put it inside the machine. You just set the cup in front of it, and the water comes out of the bottom of the front of the machine into the cup.
There's a little tray that you set it on.
The only difference I can really tell in the two coffee makers is the tray. You mentioned the tray where you put the cup on. On the Elite, you can actually spill or not put your cup under there, and it will hold a whole cup of coffee in that tray.
There's a little hole in the bottom of the tray where the cup sits, and if you don't put your cup under there, it'll go right into that container.
Well, this will go into the tray if it's like an 8 ounce, but anything bigger than that might overflow.
Oh, it would, because the 8 ounce is filled up.
That's a good question, to have a sensor. So if you're really not awake and you start it and forget to put your cup in there, would it wait, or is it just going to dump the water?
No, unfortunately, they don't. And I'm surprised they don't make one like that.
Because my cheap one doesn't do it. I did it the other day. I was like, why is it not making? I go, well, there's no cup in there. I'm glad it didn't spew out.
Well, what's the difference in the 55? What is the 55? What is that?
It's very similar to the K-Select.
I think it has 3 sizes, doesn't it, instead of 4?
Yeah.
And Joe has his hand up. I got him unmuted.
Okay, go ahead, Joe.
Oh, yeah, I think that was Ellen had another question.
I'm sorry, but my phone had dropped, so I had to go back in. But, no, thanks for answering my question. That was pretty good. And, Dave, that was a beautiful air check. You did an awesome job when you were out there. So I just had to applaud you for that.
Oh, thanks a lot.
So
what about good prices for the K-Cups themselves?
Boy, that
you just have to shop around.
Yeah, because everybody's got different prices. Yeah,
that varies. You're going to get more probably your Walmart, your Amazons, of course, and maybe Keurig itself. But
I think some Tommy Bed Bath and Beyond has got some good prices. But
they do. I've always thought they were the Bed Bath and above prices. I don't know.
You can find that. You can also find them on Kohl's, and you can find them at Sam's. But really, you have to find the places that have the kind of coffee you like, because they don't all have everything.
No, they don't. We're having trouble finding the iced tea. You can get sweetened, unsweetened, whatever the case may be.
You can get a pretty decent price if you join the Keurig Club, and if you put it on whatever their version of subscribe and save is called. I can't remember what term they use, but it's not too bad.
Go ahead, Mike.
I guess I'm kind of cheap because I try to find them for 50 cents or less, and that's just hard to do anymore. Sometimes you see between 40 and 75. But
you need to go to Aldi's.
I had never thought of that one.
I've gotten cases of K-Cups before at Aldi's, and it was pretty reasonable.
Yeah.
It was like 96. I think it ended up being 100 and some cups for $50 or something.
Can't beat that.
Or if you really want to get cheap, go to Menards, if they have a Menards in your area.
Right down the street. Oh, there you go.
Oh, okay. They are really, now it's the worst K-Cup I've ever drank.
I'm glad you qualified that before I ran down there.
I think they forgot to put the coffee in it.
Man. That dark magic is good stuff.
Well, that's it. You got to find what you like and then figure out who carries it most.
Right, and get it at the best price. But your grocery stores usually are going to be typically a little higher unless they have them on sale.
I think slight change of topic. Any of you think Amazon is kind of raising their prices?
If you want $39 for a 12, where you can get it same thing at Walmart for $9.
Well, they've always kind of done stuff like that a little bit, but I think what you do is they don't give you the best option. You have to read down like the fifth or sixth option will be the same thing for less. It'll be the very same thing at a lower price. And they've kind of done that for a few years. But I just think overall, they're really raising their prices. They say they lose money on the small items, the small ticket items, things under $20. They spend a lot in shipping and they're trying to compensate for that. But
Are you better off to go with shopping on the Google, knowing that you must have a $35 order to get free?
Well, they're not all $35. Some are like $15 or Target's $15, I think. But yeah, some of them are up to $35. So you do have to spend some money. You can't just grab a small.
Right. You can't just grab a small thing. But then again, by the time you pay $130 a year for Amazon Prime, there you go. Of course, you get a little bit more than just shopping, but, that's another.
Yeah, I don't think I'm renewing it this year. I really don't. I don't use the TV services. I mean, they do have some music on there, but I don't know. I'm not seeing the deals. It is nice to have that delivery, but there are more options now, and I just don't think I'm going to renew it. I don't see the benefit this time.
Another place you can buy your K-Cups a little cheaper, Mike, I just pulled up here, is Sam's Club or Costco's. And you can get their brand of the K-Cups, the Kirkland or the Maker's Mark or whatever it's called, and they do taste better than Menards. So
we had kind of a weird experience with Amazon a couple weeks ago. We ordered some K-Cups, and it said that two-day delivery, which I had no problem with. I figured we had Prime and all that. But then it said we ordered them on February 16th, and it said it wouldn't be delivered until February 26th. Well, I say that's not 2 days. So then Laura went in and updated it to one-day delivery, and they said you have to pay $6.99 for shipping. So and it said also that it would update it and it would be delivered on Friday, February 22nd. This is still from the 16th. Well, we ended up ordering it, I mean, letting it go, and it came on Wednesday, the 20th. But then we called back and complained because we said we shouldn't have had to pay that shipping to get something that was delivered that much later. And they agreed with it and gave us our $6.99 back. But that was kind of weird.
We've had that happen, and it's like, okay, so it's 2-day shipping, but they don't tell you when they're going to actually ship it out. It might be 2-day shipping, yeah, but maybe a week before they get around to shipping it.
Yeah.
You know, I would strongly encourage people, even if you really do some serious shopping online and you like your digital assistant, you should probably get, especially when they're on sale, a Google Mini along with your Lady A device, because your shopping possibilities just open up so drastically. I mean, it's significant. And, you know, Best Buys to Target to Walmart to all kinds of things that you can shop for. So if you do a lot of that. Now, if you go there yourself, well, that's a different story. But Jeff, I don't know if Jeff's still here, but he has just got a Google Mini. Now, you have to set up your account, but that's not a real problem.
But I guess they count on people not looking. I had that the other day, too. But on Saturday, I ordered some jars. My girlfriend likes to make homemade barbecue sauce. So I buy some jars. And Amazon tried to sell me 5 1-quart jars for $69.
Whoa.
Man.
Good thing you shopped and looked around. That's a significant.
You know, they try to scam people that just don't know. Like my husband buying a birthday gift or something for their wife and just don't know what things cost.
I noticed that $39 on that coffee. I thought, I can go down here to Walmart and get the same thing for $9.95. See, the problem is, and we'll get to you in just a second, Chris, with the recipe. The problem is Amazon, they use a lot of independent stores and sellers and whatever. And I mean, I can put something on there for $100 for those K-Cups. They'll list it. Now, if anybody buys it, maybe I'd get lucky. But, you know, but that, I think that's the difference here. And
I wonder if there's a difference in the date of the coffee that they're selling that causes the lower price.
Well, we got some coffee on Amazon one time when they were having this changeover, and the changeover had happened a while back, and there were some K-Cups that weren't good for 2.0 brewers, you know, when they were doing that changeover. And they had done it about 6 months before. And when we ordered from Amazon, we found some at a lower price, all right, but they weren't compatible with 2.0 brewers.
What is the life?
Yeah, that was a real problem for a while.
Yes.
We called Keurig and kind of complained about that, and they did
They replaced them, and that almost cost Keurig their company by doing what they did. That almost cost them their company. They lost hundreds of millions of dollars when they did that.
And that's when I started ordering from that other coffee place, remember?
Yeah, and they
gave us that clip that you could put over the sensor in the 2.0 brewer so that you could put other K-Cups in it.
Right. That almost cost them their company. In fact, they had to sell it, and then this other company's bringing it back, and that's kind of why they went to the, got away from that.
Oh, yeah. And you know, this doesn't have anything to do with coffee, but it's Keurig. Did anybody besides me see the thing last week about the, what is it called? The Bar Works or whatever, that's the new Keurig so that you can have a single serving of a cocktail like wine or...
Oh, no, I haven't seen that one yet.
Well, but he's all over that one.
I don't think.
All over that one. Hey, we better give Chris her a few minutes of fame here to do a recipe.
We're going to talk about something I'm not crazy about, but Dave loves it. It's called ham, cabbage, and potatoes. And I made it Monday. And you need a head of cabbage that you've washed and cored and cut up into bite-sized pieces, or maybe a little bigger because it's going to cook way down. And you need about a pound or a pound and a half of ham that you've cut up the same way, only maybe a little smaller because it's not going to cook down. And you need Six or seven medium potatoes, and by that I mean about 6 or 7 ounces. Not tiny, but not huge either. And you need some water, and you need a half a teaspoon of black pepper. And I used 2 teaspoons of bouillon granules, or 2 cubes, whichever you have, and 4 teaspoons of salt, because this makes quite a bit. And it's, you can make it in the Instant Pot, or you can put it on the stove. If you're going to make it in the Instant Pot, you need about 3 cups of water. You put your cabbage and your salt and your bouillon and your pepper and your ham in the Instant Pot, or on the pot on the stove. Well, if you use the stove, you need to almost cover the cabbage with water, so it does take more water for the stovetop. But anyway, you pressure that for 12 minutes, and it will be an Instant Pot full, but it will work. You pressure it for 12 minutes. If you're cooking it on the stove, you need to cook it about an hour. And then you release your pressure. You do the quick release on the pressure. And you add in your cut up potatoes that you can peel them or not. For this, I like them peeled, but whatever you want to do is fine. You cut them up into chunks like you would for potato salad or something. You put them back in the pressure cooker with your ham and cabbage, and you pressure it for an additional 4 minutes and do a quick release. Or on the stove, you just cook them for about 20 more minutes till the potatoes are done. And he says it's really, really good.
Well, that sounds good.
I think I'd rather have corned beef. Good. I tried the ham in there, but
well, you got to try the ham.
We made That's it awesome. Monday, and it makes quite a bit.
And you wouldn't try it, Chris?
I'm not a cabbage person. I'm not crazy about cabbage.
That's a good Dutch, Amish, German dish.
Yeah, sure is.
You're right, Chris, or Dave, I mean, right.
Yeah, it's really good stuff.
I'm just not a cabbage right. fan. So.
Yeah, also, what helps it is throw a chopped onion in there.
Yeah, you could do that. And right. sometimes now the Amish here in Pennsylvania, and I tried that and didn't really care for it. They put those caraway seeds in there.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, some people put carrots in it, too.
Well, you could put anything you wanted. I mean, mm-hmm. this is just how we make it, so,
right.
you know.
Sounds like some really, really, really good stuff.
Well, Bill, we usually do the corned beef and cabbage potatoes on New Year's Day, right?
Yeah, we've done that before. Remember that time in the corned beef wouldn't get cooked? I don't know if it's too big for the pot, and I kept having to cook and cook and cook and cook. You're going to buy a crock pot. You better buy one big enough to put something in it. Let me tell you. You know,
We ought to have a show called Bill's Bloopers.
Oh, if you cook enough, you'll have some.
I mean, I'm here to tell you, they can be really funny.
And sometimes dangerous. Remember the time with the cold?
Yeah, that was scary.
That was scary. You should have heard that thing zap him.
Yeah.
Well, the thing that was scary was he didn't seem okay for a little bit.
No, he was out of it, man. He took some serious juice.
Yeah.
No, thank you. I don't pass on that.
And then after that, he goes, "You want to plug this in for me? I might try it one more time." I said, "No."
You know, I know part of Tim's show's coming up. Let's see what time it is here. I have Miss Jeff here.
As long as he didn't want to put some water on the floor first. Geez.
Really?
Or leave a piece of silverware in the microwave when you run to that'll shut it off for you, too.
And Mark, I just got your email. We'll get to your information next week, and we'll talk about the accessible social media sites and things of that nature. And we'll get to that next week. I just got that email.
You got to be careful. I mean, I've almost had a catastrophe in the microwave once. I went to Fazoli's and I brought home some of those breadsticks that I had left over. And I wasn't thinking anything about it. You know, they were wrapped in paper. I came home and stuck that in the microwave. And boy, sparks started. You could hear it sparking and there was foil, like aluminum, on the inside of the paper. About burnt them.
Yeah. Well, I guess we're about ready to go. Mike, you got a recording?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Do what we did last week, then, if you don't mind.
We will do that.
Okay. Anyway, I guess we're ready to go. I want everybody to have a good, productive week. Hope it's all good for you. You can always get in touch with us, bill@billsparks.org, or you can reach any of us. I'll put you in contact with anybody. And we're here. Any problems with the legend? We've had our ups and downs this week. And let's hope things are going to be good. Right, Tim, you want a good show. Oh, he must be gone.
I'm here. I'm ready.
Tim, are you ready for some more buffering? You want me to give you some more buffering today?
Oh, try not to, I guess.
I'll try not
to. It has been working all through the coffee club, so that's good.
That's a good thing.
So far, so good.
Probably ready to start.
Bye-bye.